I invite you to turn with me back to Romans chapter 16. My subject this morning is my gospel. Paul called it his gospel. I want folks to differentiate between me and those men who preach God only knows what out in this world. I want men to know that I don't stand with the multitude. I don't stand with the majority of those who call themselves ministers of God. And that the message I carry is my gospel. My gospel. It was Paul's gospel by revelation. Listen to what he says here in Galatians chapter 1. He said that God revealed Christ in him that he might preach him among the heathen. You can't preach him until God reveals him in your heart. It's his gospel by revelation, and it was his by divine calling. In Ephesians 3:7, Paul said he was made a minister by the gift of the grace of God given unto him by the effectual working of God's power. God called him to the ministry. And it was by divine appointment. You remember when Paul went down and man preached to him and he said that the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldst know his will and see the just one and be his witness to all men. And it was his by the recommendation of all those who preached before him. Now 14 years Paul preached the gospel. And then he went up to Jerusalem. And Peter and James and John, the pillars of that church at Jerusalem, extended their right hand of fellowship to Paul. They supported him in his missionary journeys, and they sent him on his way. Now, follow with me as I read my text here in Romans chapter 16, beginning with verse 25. Paul summing up all that he preached here in the book of Romans, all that he taught them. And he said, "Now unto him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." What is the gospel? Paul said it was his, but what is it? What is the gospel? I'm telling you, everything under the sun is being called the gospel in our day. Everything. I never cease to be amazed when I read church signs and go by what they call the gospel. Well, there's seven terms that are used by the Holy Ghost to describe the gospel. First of all, he calls it in Romans 15, verse 16, the gospel of God. The gospel of God in its origin. I was talking, I think it was with one of my sisters one day, and she was telling me how that the gospel message today has evolved. The gospel message has not evolved. It's the same as it's always been. Because he of whom the gospel is, its origin, its content, all about the gospel, he never changes. He never changes. It's of God in its origin. It's of God in its design. It's of God in its content. It's of God in its manifestation and revelation. It's of God. It's God's gospel. And then secondly, it's the gospel of His Son. Romans chapter 1, verse 9 tells us that. The gospel, He was separated to the gospel of God's dear Son. Jesus of Nazareth is declared by John throughout his gospel as the Son of God. Over and over and over, he tells us that Jesus of Nazareth, that little baby born in Bethlehem, who grew to adulthood, who preached to the nation, this man is the Son of God. This is God come into the flesh. And then thirdly, it's the gospel of Christ. Christ is a term used by the old prophets to describe the coming Redeemer. He's the promised one, the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's the propitiation for our sins. He's the one mediator between men and God, the man, Christ Jesus. This is the Christ. He's the seed of woman, the seed of Jesse, made by God to be unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, and set forth by the prophets in great detail. And so Paul tells you here in the text that I read you that he preached this gospel by which you're established. He had no New Testament. He was writing the New Testament. And as he stood before those men, he declared unto them the Christ according to the prophets. He, all the way up to the book of Malachi, that was his Bible at that time. And he read from them these things concerning the Christ, and he told them, this is the Christ. This is the Christ. And he preached the gospel to them. So it's the gospel of Christ. You can't preach the gospel without telling men who the Christ was. That is the gospel. My soul, you take that out of it, there is no good news. And then fourthly, it's said to be the gospel, now listen, of our salvation. Isn't that what the Scriptures say? Nobody will ever be saved apart from the gospel. Paul said the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. It's unnecessary. It's not needed. It's an insult to their intelligence. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. And then fifthly, it's called in the Scriptures the everlasting gospel. It's the same yesterday and today and forever. You read in the Bible, I never read it when I was in religion. Nobody ever read it to me. But it tells you in the Bible that Christ is the Lamb slain when? Before the foundation of the world. The gospel is as old as God. It's as old as God. And Christ was the Lamb slain. God's sheep, when chosen in Him, blessed in Him, adopted in Him, redeemed in Him, justified in Him, and preserved in Him. So it's the everlasting gospel. And then sixthly, my gospel's called in the Scripture the gospel of peace. Peace. Peace with God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our peace, Paul said, who hath made both one, talking to those Gentiles. Made us both, Jew and Gentile, the same. Made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself one new man, so making peace. And then he said he came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. And we were made fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now, there's many so-called gospels out there, but there's only one that can speak peace to your soul. And Paul said, that's my gospel. It's the gospel of peace. And then here's the last thing. My gospel is the gospel of the grace of God. Of the grace of God. No man has a message worth listening to that does not preach the fall of man and the grace of God. If he doesn't have that as his subject matter in his message, turn him off. He's not worth listening to. Sin and grace are the two forces at work in this world today. And one of these two forces is working in you right now. Maybe both. Maybe both. But the gospel is the gospel of the grace of God. And apart from the grace of God, there could be no gospel. And any gospel that does not preach the grace of God is not the one true gospel. It's another gospel. Now let me give you four things about the gospel. My gospel. My gospel. Of which my generation is altogether ignorant. First of all, my gospel is delivered unto you by the commandment of God. Boy, that's a word I never heard. Not the whole time I was in religion. I never heard that one time. The gospel is delivered to you by the commandment of God. Look at verse 26 of my text. It's according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. This is God's commandment. We're commanded to believe. Did you know that? His gospel is commanded to be preached, and those who hear it are commanded to believe. The gospel's not some general, universal act of God trying to help folks reform their lives. That's not the gospel. It's not an open invitation for men and women to decide their destiny or reserve them a place in heaven or provide with them some kind of an insurance policy against hell. The gospel is the commandment of God. Go ye into all the world, he said, and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Let me read you something over in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, the very last verse of that chapter. It says, he that believeth on the Son, that is, rests in him, and trusts in him, and finds all he needs in the Son, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. He can't perceive life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. My friend, the gospel's not something we hold in reserve. It's not like the four stones that David, picked up five smooth stones, he put four of them in his pocket and one in the sling. The gospel's not the four stones in his pocket. The gospel's the stone in the sling. It's not something we hold back in reserve. It's not something just in case. It's not something that we overlook or hold back. It's the commandment of God for us to preach it and for those who hear us to believe it. And then secondly, my gospel is the means ordained of God to call out, regenerate, and preserve His elect. In Acts chapter 13, verse 38, listen to this. He said, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. How did it come? Preached unto you. Yes, but this salvation's in Christ. I know it is. But it's preached unto you. It's preached unto you. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, it says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to what? Save them that believe. Isn't that what that says? In 1 Corinthians 3:5, it said, who then is Paul? He ain't anybody. He's Paul. He was a Pharisee. He was a man who persecuted the church. Who's Paul? And who's Apollos? He said, we're ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to how many? What's that say there? Every man. Isn't that what that says? And Paul writes to Titus and says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of our God and Savior. Preaching is how God calls out his elect and how he regenerates them. In Christ Jesus, Paul said, I have begotten you through the gospel. That's how men are begotten, through the gospel. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 25, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, there's no preaching of the gospel apart from the word of God. I've already quoted to you and had you turn to more scriptures than most men have ever heard in all their life attending church. The Spirit of the living God says to every man, how shall you hear without a preacher? I didn't say that. I didn't make that up. Some writer I read didn't say that. The Holy Spirit of God said that. And then you go on down a little bit further, and he talks about those who listened to that man, those who received that gospel, those who were regenerated by God, and here's the cry of their heart, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. As it is written. Now here's what he's saying. Everything that I've just told you about preaching and preachers and coming to know the living God, everything I've just told you, he said, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then thirdly, my gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation's a new creation. It's the conquering of the old man and bringing him into subjection. It's life from the dead and light out of darkness. It's the destruction of his strongholds, tears down his strongholds. Everybody has a stronghold. Everybody has a hideout. Boy, when we was little, we had hideouts, didn't we? Huh? Boy, we go there and we get in them hideouts. We could do anything we wanted to do in a hideout. Read them old books and smoke cigarettes and grapevines and whatever else we had. Go to the hideout. That's the stronghold. Everybody has a stronghold. And they run in there and they feel like they're safe and they feel like nobody can tell them anything. They can go in that stronghold and they feel safe. Let me tell you something. The power of God uproots the stronghold. That's what it does. It's the destruction of the stronghold, the casting down of imaginations, the doing away with every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And it brings our every thought, Paul said, into the obedience of Christ. Now, I want to comment before I leave that passage right there. I've read that thing 1,000 times and never saw what it really means. This is not talking about our obedience to Christ, bringing our thoughts into obedience of Christ. It's bringing, as he tears down our strongholds, he tears down our self-righteousness, he tears down all these things, and he brings our every thought into his holy obedience, his righteousness, which is our righteousness. And he destroys everything else. Everything else. Look with me back here in Romans chapter 1. We're talking about the gospel, my gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And that's what Paul tells us here in Romans 1:16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Eternal life is to know God. It's to know God through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And this by way of the Spirit of God is how men are given life everlasting. All that God purpose to do for his elect before the foundation of the world, he's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto, Paul said, I'm appointed a preacher.
I'm appointed a preacher.
What does it mean, the power of God unto salvation?
Exactly what it says. Exactly what it says. I looked in all the dictionaries, I looked in all the concordances, and let me tell you what that means. Exactly what it says.
Strong's concordance tells us that in the original text, the word is dunamis. Dynamite. That's the word. Dunamis. It means explosive power. It means power that breaks up and tears down, moves the immovable. It means irresistible power, miraculous power, mighty power, power to quicken dead sinners, open blind eyes, power to give understanding to the ignorant, power to believe to the saving of your soul. Now, if any man draw back, Paul said, if any man draw back, the Lord says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But he said, we're not of them that draw back to perdition. We're of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I'm telling you, once you've experienced this, you'll understand what I'm saying. That's the power of God to maintain faith in your soul. That's the power of God. I'm not afraid that my gospel's not sufficient to save men's souls, that it might require a little something else on my part, that I must add something to it. No, no. It's the power of God. It's sufficient. It's good enough. It's good enough. Oh, I think I think what y'all do is go visit folks in their home. Sit down on 101, present the arguments, and they'll tell you what they think back, and then you tell them what you... And when you come in here to teach Sunday school, I think we need to have sharing sessions where everybody gets put in his part. That's what folks say who don't know anything. This gospel is sufficient. It don't need my help. It don't need my help. I've done everything God has commanded me to do when I preach it. And I tell you, when He accompanies that gospel into the hearts of His elect, it's just like turning on the light. Just like turning on the light. They see what they've never saw. They hear what they've never heard. And that's what Paul's telling us. It is the power of God unto salvation. Now, God's power is manifested in His providence that brought you here. It's manifested in the reason for your coming and in the arranging for you to cross paths with His ambassador. But the power to convert your soul and reconcile you to God and speak peace to your heart is manifested in His gospel. You're not going to find that out on the lake. I'm talking about my gospel. The gospel I'm called to preach and the gospel God commands me to preach. And then, fourthly, the gospel is the revelation of God. The gospel is the glorious work of the triune God manifested in the person and work of Jesus Christ. His eternality, His Godhead, His offices, His covenant headship, His incarnation, His accomplished work of redemption, His resurrection, His present reign in glory. Now listen to our text. Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Paul took those things of the Old Testament scriptures that he talks about here, and he preached the gospel to men. He told them about Abraham. We had studies when I was in religion. We had studies, and we talked about Abraham, talked about Isaac and Ishmael and all those things, but nobody knew what they meant. They were just stories of devotion and spirituality. They meant to inspire us, and they were talking about Abraham's faith and all these things. But
But the Scripture said to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. All these things that God promised to Abraham was in Christ, was through Christ. That's what nobody ever told me. Isaac and Ishmael, one by the bondwoman, one by the free, one after the flesh, one after the promise of God. These things, Paul said, are an allegory. They're an allegory, speaking of the two covenants, one by the flesh, by the strength and hope of the flesh, the other by the promise of God and the grace of God. And then he tells us about the first tabernacle and the priesthood and sacrifices, and he calls them a figure for the time then present, pointing to Christ who would come and his own blood enter into heaven itself and obtain eternal redemption for us. The law having a shadow of good things to come, but no power to make those comers perfect. What's it take to be saved? Have to be perfect. Have to be perfect. That's the only way you can be saved. And there's no way for you to be perfect except in Christ. The purging of blood, a pattern of things of the heavens, of him who appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Christ is the Lamb of God. He's the propitiation for our sins. He's the Sabbath. We rest in him as God did rest in him from the very beginning. And natural Israel is a picture of spiritual Israel. Abraham's sons are called in the Scriptures all those who believe. And that what it says over in Galatians 3:29, if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The gospel is clearly set forth in the Old Testament in types and pictures in plain declaration. Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. All we like sheep have went astray, and the Lord had put on him all the iniquity of his people. It was for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And on and on and on I could go through the Old Testament. My point is, Paul preached the gospel to these men using these types and pictures and shadows and all of these things that we all read as little stories to inspire us to do good works. And that's not why these things were given. They were given to picture Christ and that redemptive work that would be done in him. It's the revelation of God that brings everlasting life to the sinner. And the Holy Spirit of God takes this gospel and makes him to know the origin of it, the glory of it, the hope of it, and the power of it. The preaching of the gospel is the revelation of God. If God ever reveals these things to your heart, he's not going to reveal something else to you, and you're going to say, well, I really like what you said, but I really like what he said. Now, if he reveals them to you, you're going to say, that's it. That's it. What's it? The gospel you've been preaching to me. I see it. I see the glory of it. It's not something else. It's what's being declared to you. Listen to what Paul said. If our gospel, his gospel, that's what I'm saying about mine. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to the lost in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Only God can make it shine. I can preach it. I can preach it. I can picture it. I can take illustrations and illustrate it, but I can't make it shine. Only God can turn that light on in your soul. And when he does, you're going to say, that's it. That's it. Why didn't I see that? Why didn't I see that? Oh, my soul. My gospel. You see what I'm saying? Men not saying this. You're dishonest with. I'm telling you, God has ambassadors in this world. And they have his gospel. And through that gospel, they're called. These men are called unto everlasting life. And he turns the light on in your soul when he accompanies that gospel into the hearts of his people. Do I expect everybody to believe? I don't know why you wouldn't. Why wouldn't you believe? Huh? It's the power of God unto salvation. Of course I expect men to believe. It's the truth. It's the truth. If you believe this book. If you believe this book. But you want to carry over what your fathers and mother said and what your great-grandpa said and what the Methodist Church said and what somebody else said. I got nothing for you. But if you want to sit down with this book, I can show you what I'm telling you is the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. And I tell you this, if God ever shines it in your heart, I won't have to come and tell you. He'll tell you. He that knoweth God, John said, heareth us. They hear us. And that's how you know the difference between that spirit of Antichrist and that spirit of Christ. God makes it known in your soul. The preaching of the gospel is the revelation of God. That's my gospel. Now, I don't know about yours, but that's mine. That's mine. And that's what I preach. May God reveal it to our hearts.